Today, we are going to look at a topic which you may never have heard a sermon of. And if you had, then probably very few. It's a topic which we in the Western world don't really know much about. Unfortunately, we don't practice it often either, if ever. When I studied this subject, I was greatly amazed how much I didn't know about it. We soon will find out great hidden spiritual treasures. If we practice what we will hear, then you can be assured that your spiritual life will very soon be changed in a very real way. I just want to read Psalm 35, verse 13, just this verse. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Now, the way to spiritual success is not the motorway on which the crowd is moving on, but it's the narrow mountain road. I strongly believe Western Christianity is so powerless because we don't really know what it means to do business with God. We do what most do, and that becomes normal. But today we want to look at what is really normal in God's eyes. First of all, we look at what is not fasting. Fasting is not mere abstinence from food or from any other pleasure in itself. It is a voluntary abstinence with a purpose. Fasting is not meant to weaken the body, but to increase and strengthen the spiritual appetite. To put it in a nutshell, fasting is humbling ourselves and admitting we need God. The philosophy of fasting is pride and passion must be conquered. The fasting man says, "Come down, my pride. Stand back, my passions, for I am waiting for God to bless me." Fasting means that you came to the place of spiritual desperation. It means that you are now determined at all costs to put God first, wanting God more than food. Then fasting is a motivator for prayer. You see, Psalm 35 verse 13 says, "I humbled myself with fasting and my prayer would return to my own heart." When you are praying with fasting, you are much more focused in prayer, much less distracted. Your spiritual aim or wanted blessing stands much more real before you. Prayer and fasting go hand in hand. Now, it is important to say that fasting is combined with prayer. It is not just an act or a duty you do and then finally tick on the list, done. It should be combined with prayer. So it is not a hunger strike. Fasting is not trying to twist God's arm for you to have your own way. No. We look now at the benefits of fasting. First, it will sound strange to you when I say fasting is the great faith producer. One of the main purposes of fasting is to get an increase of faith, so that we can believe and receive. Let me explain what I mean. We know from Mark 11, verse 24, that we only receive if we ask with faith. For we read, "When you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Fasting kindles and develops faith far quicker than any other process. There's a big difference between prayer alone and prayer combined with fasting. Even a few minutes of prayer during a fast could be equivalent to several hours of prayer when not fasting. We shouldn't be technical about it in any way. But why can we say that? That almost sounds like kind of a magical trick. we need to understand that the fasting in itself is absolutely worthless and does not produce anything but a hungry belly. Lots of Catholics fast, and the result equals absolutely nothing. Fasting is merely a great help and tool that our heart gets to the right place before God. Nothing else. We don't put our trust into the fast, but in God only. And that's very important. A Christian lady tells how she prayed 8 years for her brother, who was a drunkard, with seemingly no results. Then she got desperate about him and prayed and fasted for 12 days for him to be saved. 30 days later, her sister-in-law wrote her a letter saying that he was completely delivered from the drink to which he had been addicted for 30 years. And now he's serving the Lord. I mean, that's amazing. Fasting is prayer intensified. But what happened inside that lady? Why did the Lord answer? Was it plainly because that lady fasted? Not at all. Her heart attitude became right and God could answer. So we can't achieve anything with a mechanical fast. It's not a formula. Some people don't fast because they think it's harmful for the body. But if fasting is done wisely with plenty of warm water, it's not harmful at all, but is highly beneficial. Believe you me, all the sweets and grease and fats an average British person eats is much more harmful than fasting. Trust me. You may not believe it, but fasting is actually healthy. Fasting is the greatest blood purifier known here on this world. It cleanses your blood and clears your whole system. Jonathan Swift says, the best doctors in the world are Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, and Dr. Merriman. It's quite amusing, really, but it's interesting to see that Dr. Diet was the first on his list. Now, if your day hasn't got enough hours, then fasting is one other great benefit for you. Have you ever thought how much valuable time you spend for your belly? Setting the table, cooking, eating, doing the washing up, then the drying up, putting everything back into the cupboards, and of course the hassle of shopping. Whew, I personally don't like shopping at all. I am so glad Donna does it. It's even healthy for your wallet. I like that bit. If you don't need to do all these things, you have got much more additional time to pray and meditate on your hand. That's fantastic. And then another benefit which you can enjoy for free is to lose some stones on the scales, if that is applicable to you. But here you need to know very clearly that you don't fast in order to lose weight. Because then you need a diet, and fasting is actually not a diet. And by the way, what you lose quickly, you will gain back on quickly. So it's not a diet. The reason why you fast is because you are desperate for a particular blessing. And listen to this. Jesus even takes it for granted that we fast, because it is written, moreover, when you fast, in Matthew 6 verse 16. So the word when implies that you will fast. The question is not whether, but when. Jesus expects us to fast. It doesn't say if you fast. Let's have now a look on some amazing scriptures. Fasting transformed Elijah from a state of depression into a fearless man of God. through a long fast, his words also caused the wicked King Ahab to start fasting too. We read in 1 Kings 21 verse 27, "So it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning." And you know what is even much more amazing? It's the fact that God took notice of a wretch like Ahab when he started to fast. Ahab was a godless, nasty piece of work. He was a wicked king. And God said to Elijah, look at this. "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days." Now, this is amazing. This proves, among other things, that fasting humbles a man quicker than almost anything else. If God took notice of wicked Ahab, will he not look at you and me when you and me start fasting? Let's look at Daniel. Daniel fasted and God answered. It is interesting. When the answer came, we read in Daniel 10 verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. Although he had a number of his friends or companions with him, it is clearly said that they did not see the vision." Why is that important to know? Only those who fast and pray will get the answer. Now listen what the man after God's own heart is saying to us. King David says in Psalm 109, verse 22 to 25, he says this, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their heads." Absolutely amazing. He says he is poor and needy. How much more poor and needy are we spiritually? When the people saw him staggering down the streets, they ridiculed him for his condition because he was so weak at his knees. He fasted so long that he looked almost like a skeleton. But David was not interested in how he looked like in the sight of others, nor what they thought of him. David was spiritually desperate for God. Do we know something about such fasting? Let's look at Cornelius. Cornelius prayed and fasted, and he wasn't even born again in the New Testament sense. And what did happen? He moved the angel world through a prayer and fasting. An angel came from heaven and brought him the answer how to get saved. It is also interesting that John tells us that on the third day after Jesus has fasted 40 days, only then he began to work miracles and not before. Now in Matthew 6, Jesus spoke mostly about the three major principles, which were called by the early Christians the three great foundations. The first one was almsgivings, prayer, second and third, fasting. Are we practicing Matthew 6? The early church fasted often. How many times have you and I fasted? Maybe you say very piously, "I believe in fasting, yes, but only when the Spirit leads me." And let me guess, that's probably not often or never. So how comes that the Spirit moved the early Christians so often and thus move us? Are you and I Christians? I'm just challenging you now. You don't lay in bed in the morning waiting for the Spirit to lead you to work, do you? No, you don't wait on the Spirit to be moved to eat a meal. No, you don't wait on the Spirit to pay your bills. No. Or maybe you say, I'm too old to fast. According to some health authorities, people would live much longer if they fasted. As an example, there is Anna the prophetess in scripture, who was old and fasted often. Luke 2 verse 37 says, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. It's amazing that scripture is so specific with her age. Why is it so important that we know her age? And then, of course, Moses, who was 120 years old. Anybody more than 120 years old today? No? Okay, then nobody has got an excuse. Friends, fasting is not an option. Fasting is a command. Three times in two of the chapters of Joel, God commands a fasting. There was a man of God in South Africa, that was quite a few years ago now. Once when he was praying, God said to him, I want you to fast for 40 days and I will give you the power for the ministry that the sick get healed and the demons cast out. He thought, 40 days? After a while, he wanted to start, but God said, don't start now. I will tell you when you start. Oh, right, okay. Christmas arrived, and in that part of Africa, there is the great tradition of having a turkey for Christmas, like here in Britain. Every Christmas, he went with his friend to get a turkey. So now the time arrived for getting his turkey. His whole family was excited and waved him goodbye. They couldn't wait until he comes back with his turkey. On the journey, he suddenly said to his friend, stop the car and turn back. He was astonished and asked, why? Ngidi answered, God just told me it's time for me to start fasting. And whatever he tells me, I will do. That's amazing. So they returned home and the family came to welcome him with great joy. They were amazed that he is already back. Where's the turkey? And he said, I'm sorry, no turkey, but fasting is on the program for this Christmas. Fasting over Christmas? Is there not a better time to fast? They were so sad and so disappointed. And he started to fast for 40 days. And God gave him the power in his ministry where the sick got healed and the demons cast out. Yes, and that man was all even in Switzerland and many miracles happened. But you can't build a doctrine of fasting based on anybody's experience. Any truth must be based on the word of God. You can also heal the sick without fasting because it's not a reward. And because sickness is paid by Jesus' stripes already and not by our fastings. That's very, very important to know. Would we be ready, though, for this? Even if it was only 3 days over Christmas? I'm not suggesting that you need to fast over coming Christmas now. But is it Jesus or is it the turkey in your life? Who do we really serve? Do you serve your belly or Jesus? Fasting is a cost to pay, but it is very beneficial when we look at the results. Who wants to start this fasting life? There are different kinds of fasting. There is the partial fast. Daniel abstained from pleasant food and meat for 3 weeks. Then we've got, there is the fast without food, but with water only. This appears to be the most common fast in the Bible. And then there is the fast for 3 days without food and without water. A soul practiced that after the Lord encountered with him. This fast you only should practice if you really know from God you should do it. And by all means, not more than 3 days. Otherwise, you may end up in heaven a bit earlier than planned. We are, of course, not limited to those three kinds of fasts. You also can skip one or two meals a day. You can skip sweets. John Wesley ate dried bread for a particular fast. Or you can fast just 1 or 2 days a week. Just ask God what's on the plan, what's on the program for you. Now, this is vitally important. When you fast, it will seem to you like groping in the dark. The devil will whisper loudly into your ear. You don't think you will accomplish anything, do you? But that is the very time you're building up faith. Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And you will be very weak. Very, very weak. Trust me. Spurgeon says, "Before any great achievement, some measure of depression is very usual." Notice, be not amazed when you will find it really tough. The devil knows why he wants you to stop. That's the time you need to continue and endure, because you will meet that time. I do not claim that fasting in itself will produce miraculous answers in every case, but it prepares the heart by humbling yourself before God, as almost nothing else will do. Don't stop when you are having a headache or when you become a bit dizzy. If you are used to much unhealthy food, then this is totally normal. Just keep drinking lots of water and then you will be fine. At that stage, the devil will tell you, "Stop it! Don't listen! Don't listen to him! Don't even stop when you are so extremely weak." After 3 or 4 days, your body gets more used to it and you will feel better. I just want to mention the three phases of a prolonged fast, in case you ever would consider that. We read in Matthew 4 verse 2, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." Have you noticed? It said that Jesus was hungry afterward. Could that be a misprint? How can he be hungry only after 40 days? We will soon find out that it is actually not a misprint. The first phase of fast is marked by a craving for food, which may last for a couple of days or longer. And once it passes that phase, there may be continue to be a pleasurable sensation at the thought of food. But however, there is no craving or strong temptation anymore for it. Then the second phase is marked by a feeling of weakness and faintness, which may last for 2 or 3 days or even longer. Depends, of course, what kind of body we have. At this point, every movement of the body seems to require a huge effort. In many respects, this is the most difficult part of the fast. The gradual disappearance of this sense of weakness is a signal that the body has eliminated its grosser wastes and poisons. And then the third and easiest phase, believe it or not, is the one of growing strength with little or no concern about food. Also, weaknesses appear only occasionally. The determination of this final phase is marked by the beginning of hunger pangs. That shows that the process of elimination has been completed. The body is now beginning to draw on the sound living tissue. The appearance of hunger is the warning bell announcing that the body is beginning to starve. That's exactly what happened with Jesus. All the reserves of the body had been expended and starvation was setting in. It was at this point he faced a personal encounter with Satan and the temptation to turn stones into bread. Who wants to consider fasting in your lifestyle? Thank you for listening.